Can I give you a very warm welcome to our service of morning worship? Lots of folk are away today, so they're much in our minds. There are just a few notices to give out. First of all, to say that at the back of church you'll find the diocesan prayer diary. If you want to take a copy, please do, and pray for the wider church in this area. Next Sunday is the second Sunday of August, when we normally have a shared lunch together, but we're taking a break from that for August. And then in September, on the 10th of September, it should be another shared lunch here, but there's the village fair. So bring a picnic, come down to the village fair and sit in possible rain, maybe, and eat your lunch with us. We're continuing our series on the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning we're focusing very much on Abraham and his faith. Of course, in the Bible, Abraham is called the friend of God and the father of all who believe. So today we're asking the question, what can we as believers learn about the life of faith from Abraham? So I invite you to stand and prepare to worship together. We are the body of Christ. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. You may wish just to turn to one another, see who's here, and just greet them as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the screen you'll find the greeting. Please respond in the words in the white. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Abraham was called, of course, to go on that great journey to the promised land. And in a way, we are on that same journey. So our first hymn is a prayer for God to guide us as we pilgrim on through this land. be seated. As we journey along with the Lord, we're very often tempted to go our own way. So it's good that we can heed these words. Come, let us return to the Lord. Let us press on to know him. And so let's take a few moments before we come to confession, just to reorientate our mind to God's way. Let's use these words of confession and respond in the white. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to invite you to say the words with me of what is known as the Collect for Grace in the old prayer book. Just take a moment to read these words. So let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, thank you that you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. Order us in all our doings and guide us to do always what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The two great themes of the Abraham story that we're looking at this morning are, first, his faith in the goodness of God, and secondly, his experience of the faithfulness of God. And we're going to sing two songs now that relate to both those themes. So let's stand together and sing, first of all, about the faithfulness of God, Faithful One, So Unchanging. Let's stand. Let's pray for a moment. My hope is in you alone. All our lives, Lord, you have been faithful to us. Now, as we come to worship, we pledge ourselves to be faithful to you day by day, to trust in you alone. So let's sing together. The Lord's my shepherd, I will trust in you. Please be seated. So as we continue in Hebrews chapter 11, Jean's going to come and read to us the next instalment.
Reading is Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jean. Let's pray as we prepare to consider that passage together. Heavenly Father, please will you open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was using the illustration of a rope as a symbol of faith. And Paul Hunt, when he preached last Sunday on the faith of Noah, kindly mentioned the rope. We're trying to tie our sermons together, if you'll excuse the pun. Faith is a rope that has been let down to us by God so that we can tie ourselves onto him. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it uses words like assurance and confidence to describe faith. And you can see why. If we are roped up to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us assurance and confidence for the simple reason that he will never let us go. That's his promise to us. However far we may fall, he'll never let go of us. "I will never leave you or forsake you," he says in Deuteronomy 31:6, which is quoted in Hebrews 13:5. Have you ever read this book or seen the film, anybody? Touching the Void, some of you have. It's a true story. Joe Simpson went with his mate, Simon Yates, climbing in the Peruvian Andes. And they summited a 6,000-meter peak. And on the way down, a terrible storm hit them. And Joe, who was the lower of the two climbers, roped up to Simon, slipped, fell, and broke his leg so badly, in terrible pain, but he couldn't move. And when Simon climbed down to him, he realized all he could do to get him off this mountain was to lower him pitch by pitch, 40 foot at a time, down 6,000 meters. And it reached a point where there was an overhang, and Joe slipped over the overhang while Simon was holding him 40 feet above, and the weight became too much, and Simon felt himself being pulled off the mountain. So he did the unthinkable. He took a knife and cut the rope, allowing Joe to fall to certain death. Only he didn't die. And if you want to find out what happened next, you'll have to read the book. But the point of this illustration is that is something Jesus will never do to us. He will never, ever cut the rope. And because of that, it leads to two things that I want to talk about this morning. If we have the rope of faith, we can face things without anxiety because Christ is our security. And also, we can do things despite anxiety and fear, because Christ is our hope. And I want to look at this in relation to Abraham's story, which Jean has just read to us. Why look at him? Well, we're told he's the father of all who believe. He can help us, you see, to live by faith today. Firstly, then, facing things without anxiety because Christ is our security with the rope of faith. Well, Abraham was moving house. I've moved house 19 times in my life. How many times have you moved house? Well, it's an anxious time, isn't it? It's a worry, moving house, especially if you're going to a new country. Ever seen this program, Wanted Down Under, following families who are exploring emigrating to Australia? It's a worrying time, anxiety. There's plenty of it. When my brother and his wife emigrated to Australia, it was a huge upheaval. New home, new job, new schools for the kids, plus leaving everybody behind. Well, Abraham was moving house. He had lived in Ur, well-built city, big place, lived in a house, fine house with foundations, no doubt. Went with his dad and his wife Sarah and some others up to a place called Haran, another city, lived in a house there, no doubt, and waited there until his dad died at the grand old age of 205. Well, Abraham was 75 by then. And something very significant happened. God said, "This is not the place. Carry on down into the promised land, Canaan." So off he went with Sarah and his entourage. But something happened that we don't often think about this. From that moment on, Abraham never lived in a house again. He lived in tents. Now, if at the age of 75 you were told you're going to spend the rest of your life living in a tent, I can imagine you might feel quite anxious about that, having lived in a house with foundations. To become someone who is of no fixed abode. But Abraham didn't seem too bothered by it. Why? Well, we're told, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, his son, and his grandson Jacob. They were heirs of the promise. Why? Because he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. What is that all about? Clearly, Abraham had his eye on something else when he moved into this promised land. His faith in the Lord had opened his eyes to something bigger and better than what he had arrived in. So he wasn't bothered about living in tents because his mind was on a different city, a city that God was building. The new heaven and the new earth that the New Testament talks about, that's what he was looking for, we're told. No city built by human hands could suffice him. So he had no worries. He was looking for a better country, it says. Now, the whole point of the writer to the Hebrews telling you and I that today, in August 2023, is that we are in the same boat as Abraham, or if you like, in the same tent as Abraham. Everything in this life is temporary. The big difference for us, of course, is we live this side of the resurrection. So we have an even bigger vision that we hold on to than Abraham did. Now, most people that you meet day by day who are not Christians don't have that perspective at all. They are looking for their forever home in this life, building it here. You ever seen location, location, location? That's another. I don't spend my life watching television, you know. But I do like those programs. But you know what? they never find their perfect home. They always have to compromise, will have to compromise. Because they're looking in the wrong place for a forever home. We are temporary residents in this age. Look what the Apostle Peter says. Live out your time as foreigners here in this world. You see, those who rely on this world for their security are doomed to disappointment. They discover what a great Bible scholar, Derek Kidner, once said, they discover the fatal insufficiency of all that is earthbound. Jesus talked about this, didn't he, in that parable of the rich fool. That parable became very relevant to me when I was 8 years old. I lived in Fulham. And just round the corner was a sweet shop called Sweeteries. My brother and I were frequent visitors to Sweeteries. And the man who owned that shop, he opened at 5 o'clock in the morning and he worked there on his own through to 10 o'clock at night, 6 days a week, labouring and labouring. And one day my brother went in and said to him, "Why do you work such long hours?" He said, "Oh, I'm saving up for my retirement and I'm going to put my feet up." 2 weeks later, we walked past Sweeteries. There was a notice on the door. He died of a heart attack before he could ever spend a penny of his savings. The problem we have as Christians is most of the people in our world live to have a forever home here. There's a great theologian by the name of Walter Brueggemann. He was quoted on Lectio 365. Production, consumption, and the endless pursuit of private well-being defines the world in the West. And it's true, isn't it? It is so challenging that. The endless pursuit of private well-being is what's in the mind of most people. How can we convince them their forever home is never going to be here this side of the grave? Why, like Abraham, we're meant to hang loose to everything. The evangelist J. John used to say to people, "What are you building your life on? Because if it's not Jesus Christ, you will forever be haunted by what you might lose." There's a lot of truth in that. And that leads us to the next bit of the Abraham story. How is it possible, when you're crippled with anxiety, to keep on going? Well, this is a perplexing and a difficult passage, isn't it? Abraham called to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did. How could God ask Abraham to do such a thing? Have you ever wondered that? It's a difficult passage, isn't it? From a human point of view, Abraham faced losing his son, probably losing his faith in the God who'd given him this promised son. And yet, somehow, he managed, with all that fear, with all that anxiety, with all that upset, he managed to go and do what God had told him. And he could do that because his faith in the goodness of God held firm. How could God ask him to do such a thing? Well, I've puzzled over this passage, maybe you have. Let me quote to you an American pastor called Ray Stedman said something quite helpful about this. "Some have criticized God for subjecting Abraham to such unbearable anguish, but it must be remembered that Abraham's faith in the goodness of God enabled him to solve that crisis. He reasoned that God was in full control of both life and death." Sometimes the Lord calls us to hang on to him even when we are crippled with anxiety. Have you had that experience where you've got a knot in your stomach, you're so worried about something? It reminds me very much of what happened to Peter, Simon Peter, when he got out of the boat, remember, to walk to Jesus, and he began to sink, and he held up his hand and he said, "Lord, save me." Have you ever had that experience? You're lying in bed at night, tossing and turning, wondering, how's this going to work out? Why's God let this happen? And you lift up your hand in the dark and you say, "Lord, save me," or "save so and so," because you're so worried about them. Well, Abraham managed to do things, even though he couldn't fully understand, perhaps, and he was afraid. Can we do that? Can you and I hang on to Christ in those situations which will definitely come either to us or to our loved ones? You see, the temptation, of course, and I'm going to finish with this, the temptation is to go our own way and resolve it ourselves. We do that, don't we? We think, well, what's he up to? Why isn't he answering? So we go our own way. But very often that leads to disaster. Let me tell you about John. John lived in Fulham. He was a curate at the church my brother and I went to when we were children. His name was John Batman. That used to amuse us a lot. And he was a real character, was John. But his one burning ambition in life was to go and be a missionary in South America. And he went on and on about this. So eventually the church decided to pay for him to go for training and go and fulfill his dream. And off he went to this place, the Pantanal. It's in Bolivia, but I think it stretches into Brazil as well. It's a vast wetland, a marshland. And John went to be a pastor of several small congregations dotted in villages all around this huge area. And he had a horse, and he used to go and visit and encourage the Christians. And one day he heard about a small congregation of Christians on the other side of a huge swamp. And he wanted to go and visit them, but he knew this was a very dangerous journey. But he also knew that an elder in one of the villages had done that journey before and knew the way across. So he went to the elder and he said to him, "Can you guide me?" "Yes," said the elder. "Get on your horse and follow me, right behind me. I found a way through." So John said, "Great." It's a hot day. He was wearing his shorts and a hat, and off he set, following this elder. And as they went into the swamp, the water got deeper and deeper. Coming up his legs on his horse, he could see leeches beginning to attach to his bare legs, and he thought to himself, "This is ridiculous. This man doesn't know what he's doing. There's a path over there. There's grass. Why doesn't he go over there?" So he thought to himself, "I'm off on a nicer path." And he veered the horse off, and down he went into the depths. His horse got trapped and died. John surfaced, and the elder looked down at him and shook his head and stretched down and pulled him out of the water and said to him, "I told you this was the way. However deep the waters may swirl about us in our lives, Christ is our hope. Just keep following him, trusting him, because with him, you see, we can face things without anxiety, and we can do things despite anxiety, because Christ is our security and he is our hope." Let that sink in to you. I want to finish. I wanted to play you this song, but for all sorts of copyright reasons, I couldn't. But just look at these words. "I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God." You see, that's what people question, the goodness of God. "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. So let's be quiet for a moment now. Is there something that the Lord has laid on your heart through what you've heard? Hold on to that and take it with you into this week. We're going to stand together and declare our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed, which is said by Christians the world over, and we are one with them. Let's stand and say together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again, the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Abraham was called the friend of God. The Lord answered Abraham's prayers. So before we come to our time of prayer, let's remind ourselves what a friend we have in Jesus. Please be seated as Carol comes to lead us in our prayers.
Lord God, powerful Lord, Creator God, Maker of the world, all powerful. We come into your presence, but we thank you that we've just been reminded you also are an approachable, loving God. We can turn to you as our friend. And we do that now as we bring some requests to you. Father God, we pray again for Ukraine and Russia and long for peace in that area. We pray for Ukrainian refugees here in Malvern, for those who are considering returning home. We pray for wisdom and guidance for them. For those who do return to Ukraine, we pray for safety on the journey and for joyful reunions with family and friends. And for those who decide to stay here in Malvern for now, we pray for skill in learning English, for the provision of jobs, for integration, and for their children at the local schools. Heavenly Father, please bring this disaster, this fighting and destruction to an end. We ask in your powerful name. Amen. And for the rest of these prayers, we'll use the response that's on the screen. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, you can respond, hear our prayer. Lord God, as we've been thinking about Abraham and his times of testing, so we pray for all facing times of testing of their faith today. We think of the many countries where it is dangerous to be a Christian. Father, we can't imagine what life must be like for those Christians. We thank you for their dedication to following you. Strengthen and comfort them, we pray. Help them to hold on. And we ask for safety for them and for their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for Sahar and the blessing she has been to us. We pray for her this summer as she has a placement at a Birmingham hospital. We pray that this will be a great learning curve for her, and we ask for your blessing on her continued training to be a doctor. We pray too for her mother and sister and father in Iran. We do thank you, Father, that there are still ways in which Sahar can keep in contact without her faith causing problems for the family. Please keep them safe. And please draw her family to you, Lord, we pray. And keep Sahar strong in her faith and in her service for you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we also pray for any around us who are facing difficult or testing times. We pray that you will make us sensitive and understanding. We pray that you'll remind us all to turn to you, Lord Jesus, in our troubles and to cast our care on you. Thank you for your promise to help us carry our burdens. Lord, in your mercy. And Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves, for this team of parishes. We ask for clear guidance for the way ahead, for ways to work together as a team, as well as developing different approaches to meet different needs. We pray for our leaders that you will help them to lead us the right way. And we ask, Lord God, that you will bring us the new staff members whom you want to be part of our team. Especially, Father, we pray for the right person as youth minister to lead and help our youth. And thinking of our young people, we pray especially for those who are waiting for GCSE or A-level results. Strengthen them, Lord, in this waiting period. And when the results are out, lead them along the right paths for their future and provide ways to connect with other Christians wherever they go in order to strengthen and grow their faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much, Carol. So we come to our closing hymn this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Because like Abraham, you and I are looking forward to a city that the Lord is preparing and will one day bring down to earth, and we will live with him on earth with Christ as our King, it says in the book of Revelation. But we have a foretaste of it now because we have the cornerstone already in our hearts and lives. So let's stand to sing Christ Alone, Cornerstone, as we hang on to him for the future. Please be seated as we offer our gifts up to God. all our lives, Lord, you have been faithful. So, so good to us. So we offer you these tokens of our appreciation for all you've done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. There will be coffee afterwards. There will be people who will pray with you at the back if you wish for that. So now, may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.